sunshine is the nectar of life. A twisted soul where horror doesn't end.
Hello, horror fiends, and welcome to Guess What? You're Wrong, the podcast where we dive into all things horror and spoil the hell out of every movie we discuss. With me, Big D, as your host, be prepared for a terrifyingly good time. From classic slasher flicks to contemporary horror masterpieces, we're going to explore the genre from every angle that we can and leave no stone unturned. Horror, Prince, and Shine. New conversations, same podcast. So buckle up, Bonehead, because you're going for a ride.
Enjoy the show!
Beneath the moonlight, he wanders alone. A solitary figure, a haunting tone. His laughter echoes.
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all the movie reviews that I do here on Guess What? You're Wrong, we're going to spoil the hell out of every single thing we talk about. So, you have been warned. Hello and welcome back to another... God damn, I've been waiting for this episode for an awfully fucking long time. Episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Damn. That was a lot to get out, but okay, so we're back. You probably recognize this face over here next to me. It's been quite a while since she's been around. She's been around like a donut. Christine, welcome back to the show. It's been a long time. I missed you.
I missed you too.
So how the hell you been?
I'm okay. I'm doing good.
That hair looks like it needs a cutting, though. I'm telling you.
No way. Never cut my hair.
Now, Christine's having a little bit of some technical issues. Her internet's coming and going. So we're gonna power through this as best as we can. We're going to get this episode done because this episode has been waiting since Halloween. October. This is one of those episodes that we've been trying to get done. Holy sheep shit, since October.
I know.
And it's just been coming and going. I'm not available. Christine's not available. Something happened there. Who knows? Some shit happens. I got hemorrhoids. I don't know what the shit's going on. But finally, we're both on the vidges here together. So we're gonna rewind. Yeah. We're gonna pretend like it's October for a little bit, and we're covering a vampire movie from 1984. Christine, what's this movie called? Do you remember?
No.
Interview with a Vampire.
It wasn't from 1984.
No, I'm sorry, 1994.
Okay, I was like, what?
1994. I was thinking back to the heyday of horror movies. 1994. Yeah. Now, we're not talking about that trash TV show that they just released. We're talking about the movie, the good one.
That's horrible. I watched all of it.
Did you watch season 2?
I wish I could get my time back.
Now, Interview with a Vampire from 1994 was directed by Neil Jordan, written by none other than Anne Rice herself. Anne Rice, that's right.
That's right.
This movie does star Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, and Antonio Banderas from Desperado fame. And a very, 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 very young Kirsten Dunst,
yes.
Who we will eventually, as she, when she gets older, much older, we'll get to know her from the hard nipples in a see-through dress film in Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire. Remember that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't? How the heck have you been, Christine? Jeepers creepers.
I'm doing okay.
Jeez, it's been a long time.
I had to move out with, move out of Peter's. We both moved. So I've been Dade City.
Dade City. I remember Dade City. They got a good Mexican store there. I remember that Mexican store.
What?
They got a good Mexican store.
Yeah. They have a few good ones around here.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, the days. I remember being over there quite the bit. Quite the bit. So, I originally, when we were supposed to cover this movie, I watched it. To be honest with you, I haven't watched it since then. And so, Christine knows this movie very, very well. So, my recollection of this movie is going to be in bits and pieces.
Okay.
But I know Christine remembers it probably a lot more than I remember the storyline. Okay. I remember how it I remember A, B, C, how it goes. But there's, you know, some of the stuff, some of the integral stuff here and there, the bits and pieces. I just don't remember some of the smaller things.
Yeah.
You know, I remember at the beginning, because, of course, at the beginning, it's the interview with the vampire. I mean, it's the interview. So we had the interviewer who actually, in this movie, it turns out it's Christian Slater.
Yeah.
But didn't originally that was slated to be...
I was just thinking about that, too.
He died. River Phoenix.
River Phoenix.
That's right. Originally, it was supposed to be River Phoenix, and he died, killed himself because of drugs, dumbass. Christian Slater took over this role as the interviewer, interviewing Louis, right? Interviewing Louis.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it starts off with Louis telling his story as a human, right? Was that right? That's how it starts. Yeah, because he was
1795. Day it had, or the, was the time? I think that's what it was. That's what he said.
What the hell? What did you say to me?
I said 1795. Day it happened.
See, I don't remember that shit. I remember they were on boats and shit like that, like New Orleans and stuff. But
yeah,
I remember years and stuff. Damn.
I was just talking about when he was with the interviewer.
Yeah. Yeah, he starts telling that.
Begin like David Copperfield.
Yeah. The book, not the magician, the book. Now, what was the beginning? What was Louis's life? I don't remember. So this is one of the things that I blank out on a little bit here. What was his life like before he met Lestat?
In the movie, he had just lost his wife and child during childbirth. So he started not giving a crap about anything.
Yeah, that's what it says here. He drunkenly wanders the waterfront of New Orleans, and one night is attacked by the vampire Lestat de Liancourt. Lestat senses Louis's dissatisfaction with life and offers to turn him into a vampire. And Louis accepts. What was that? You're kind of breaking up a little bit there. All right, you're breaking up a little bit there.
I remember lines.
What's that? You remember Lines?
Yeah.
What Lines?
From the movie.
You know, I remember from this scene here. From this scene here, I remember when doesn't Lestat like take Louis and they like go way up into the clouds, and he's feeding on him. I remember that scene there. That's very visually.
Yeah.
That's pretty too. That's pretty cool.
And the music too.
Yeah, yeah.
The music behind it is it like made it.
Yeah. I seem to remember. What? I remember back then, I liked this song. I think it was by Concrete Blonde. I can't remember the name of the song, though. But it sings about vampires in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the song,
you
though.
You Were a Vampire? I think it's called by Concrete Blonde, You Were a Vampire?
Something like
or
that.
Or Vampire?
Yeah, now I wanted so bad for that song to be in this movie because it tells the story. I mean, you were a vampire, New Orleans, that kind of stuff. But it wasn't in there, to my dismay. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I think the visuals in this, from what I remember, were pretty darn good. For the time, you know. I don't remember. Was the use of CGI heavy in this? I don't think it was.
I don't know.
I don't think it
might be something.
So when I watched it the last time, I don't remember seeing a whole bunch of CGI. I'll have to look that up here in a bit. But, you know, as we're going through the movie, at this point here, Louis agrees, like, to become a vampire, but he regrets it almost immediately, doesn't he? I mean, you know, Lestat takes him to the river, you know, in New Orleans, where he starts to change, you know, where he dies, you know, before he's reborn as a vampire. And he starts regretting it almost immediately. Especially knowing that they have to feed on humans. I think that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He almost immediately refuses to like feed, on humans, doesn't he?
I think at first, that was later.
Yeah, and then.
Yeah, first.
And
he started feeding on rats.
Yeah, he starts feeding on animals and rats and that kind of stuff. And Lestat's making fun of him. He's like, that's no way to live, blah, blah, blah. And, well, Louis finds out because Lestat tells him, yeah, you can, because I have had to do it before in the past. Oh, and she bounced out. Maybe she'll be back here momentarily. But I know that, Lestat tells Louis that he had, that before in the past, he'd had to live off of animals, and it's no way to live. Lestat's kind of a prick like that, you know. But, the plague eventually breaks out and, she's popping back in here. There she is.
We're doing and then
what?
That shit happened.
What'd you call me?
I lost you for a minute.
Are you talking about cucumbers again?
Ew.
You're funny stuff, I'm telling you.
You ain't right. You ain't right. That's what my dad would say. You ain't right.
Nobody ever accused me of being right. I'm telling you. You know, and it goes for so
right there, is what he meant.
It goes for so long here that Louis is feeding on rats and animals and all that kind of stuff until the plague. There's an outbreak of the plague, and the Lestat catches Louis feeding on a little girl, right? And Lestat kind of makes fun of him, you know, does the whole deal. Yeah, and then I kind of
remember.
Well, you're kind of like that's what you sound like.
I hope not. You can't. Can you hear me?
Now I can. So hurry up and say what you're going to say before you start breaking up again.
No, I just remember him, like, you know, making fun of him and, like, picking up the dead woman and, like,
dancing.
Start singing in Italian. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I know that
he's like, there's still life in the old lady yet.
Yeah, that's that scene was, I got to tell you, I know that I think initially Anne Rice had an issue with Tom Cruise playing Lestat, right?
She did.
But I think that after the movie came out and she actually saw him in the role, I think she actually likened to him playing Lestat. I think he did a spectacular fucking job, in my opinion.
Yeah, he did.
You know, because in those years and before 1994, I was huge into the books. You know, I read all the books. I read all the vampire books.
Yeah.
Loved them. Those books were panty droppers. They really were.
What?
I mean.
They really were? Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you had those books, if you were seen reading those books anywhere, oh yeah, especially if you could talk about them, oh yeah, but they were good books. I mean, I loved them. I read them all.
I love them still. I wish I still had them.
I know.
I used to have the whole.
I did too. I read the whole thing.
It went up to Men Not the Devil. Did you read that?
Yeah. And that's why, you know. When this came out, I was ecstatic. I was like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. And then seeing his portrayal of the vampire Lestat, I think he portrayed him with that, I don't know, the assholeness of him. You know, that's exactly what he was, you know?
Yeah.
He was that he's this old where he just doesn't care anymore. You know, he's just like, I don't care. I'll eat who I want to eat, when I want to eat. It doesn't make a difference. And Louis, being the newly turned, still has a lot of those human feelings. And then when he comes up to these current times now where he changes, he brings Claudia. You know, this is the little girl that Louis feeding on and who's Kirsten Dunst, and Lestat decides to change her as well. And we later find out.
He did that because he was trying to leave him.
Yeah. Because
Louis was going to leave him.
Yeah, Louis was going to leave
him.
Yeah. And Lestat figured, well, look, this will make Louis stay. Because now we're a happy family. What a fucking family.
Right? Could you imagine?
I don't know, dude. You know, that's some family, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But, you know, and Claudia has her issues as well. I mean, she's what? She's a 10-year-old, 12-year-old little girl.
Yeah.
You know, and they go through the years, you know, as vampires. So they're this family of vampires, and they show, you know, that through the years, you know, she's they're bringing her dolls and trying to teach her how to be a lady and doing all this stuff. And it's not taking, because she knows that she's a killer. And she knows that these people that are trying to teach her these things are food, right? So yeah. She knows that she is, it's kind of like a food chain kind of thing, I guess you could say. Where when it comes to the world as a whole, right, she sees them as cattle, as kind of like Lestat does, right?
Yes.
She sees them as cattle, as food, right? And now, but inside the family, she sees it's different. She doesn't see, even though she's a lot like Lestat, she does not see herself as like Lestat within the family. You know, she kind of sees it's different. I mean, because the dynamic between her and Lestat at first, what weren't they close at first? But didn't it come to a point where she started going to sleep with Louis?
Like her. She was like his pupil, you know, he was teaching her everything. He was teaching her how to play the harpsichord or whatever the hell that's piano or something.
And then eventually she starts going over and sleeping in Louis's coffin, right? And then her and Louis start becoming closer. Right?
Yeah, closer is
And it's she starts becoming because age wise she's like 40 years old or something like that, but she's trapped in the body of a 10 or 12 year old. So
I couldn't imagine that
mentally. She's seeing women, you know, maturing and all this stuff, and she sees what that women do, you know, as they get older and that kind of stuff, you know, sex and all that yummy stuff with cucumbers.
And shut up with the cucumbers.
You brought it up. I don't know what tech you keep talking about.
You're the one who brought it up. No, you brought it up.
You were talking about making a salad. I don't know. But
I was talking about making a salad.
Damn it, I missed you, Christine. Really?
I missed you too.
But she's seeing all this going on around her in the world, right? And she wants that. But she can never have it. Now,
no, because she stays like a 12-year-old girl. She can't change at all. She can't cut her hair or grow back.
Yeah, she tried that, yeah. But, you know...
Yeah.
Can we blame it on Lestat, really? I mean, because if it wasn't for Lestat, she would have been dead a long time ago.
Yeah.
She would have been dead already, you know? Lestat made her what she is now. She's a vampire, yeah, but she has this life now. And if it wasn't for Lestat, you know, I mean, that's... It's one of those things. Yeah, it's Lestat's fault for making her a vampire, and we later find out that that's an abomination. That's a big no-no in the vampire hierarchy kind of thing.
One they can't really send for herself. She can't go out on her own.
But, you know, that's... she blames it all on Lestat, and then she starts, you know, manipulating Louis a little bit more, because Louis already on the doorstep, ready to go. He doesn't want to be able to start anymore anyway. And then they have this one of the things that they taught that Lestat had taught her was that whenever you're feeding, you have to stop before the heart stops, because you drink dead blood and it can take you with it, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of deal. So they come up with this idea. Right.
Right.
And it has to do with, what were they? They were twins, right?
Yeah, little twins. Twin boys.
Twin little boys. Drunk on what? Drunk on cherry wine or something like that, right?
Brandy wine.
Brandy wine.
Brandy wine.
Yeah. A thimbleful or something like that, if I remember.
Yeah, exactly. A thimbleful.
And they were still warm. But they were dead, though, right?
Yeah. She gave them laudanum.
Laudanum, that's right. Laudanum.
Laudanum.
And Lestat just goes to town, draining them. They were dead.
Yeah, and, they've been dead for a while.
So he got a whole bunch of dead blood. Messes him up. And, yeah, this is what they do them in. You know, they burn down the mansion. And this isn't this when this is when I skipped a whole big part.
Yeah, you did. You skipped the part where she says, "Your master is the devil."
And, yeah, that's the
because he feeds on the vet.
That was when they were slave owners in New Orleans and the plantations. Remember the slaves were getting suspicious on what was going on there, and
they were scared.
Yeah,
because
they were like Haitians or something like that. And everybody was coming up dead, and then they busted in, and Louis starts burning the place down, and he's like, "Yes, your masters are the devil." So that was the one thing, and then this is have a big, much bigger place or something in the city. So the first the first place was on a plantation out in the country. This one is in the city of New Orleans, and they're Lestat drank a whole shit ton of dead blood. It's kind of messed up.
Yeah,
and then they burn him up in that.
Oh, she cuts his throat first. Remember?
Oh, that's right. And he's looking kind of.
He's like, "Louis, put me in my coffin." She's like, "I'll put you in your coffin."
And she's looking like a little evil little. Wow. Yeah. I remember that.
And then there's blood on the ground, and she's like, "Louis, pick me up."
Like a little girl. "Louis, pick me up, Louis." Yeah. And her and Louis get out. Place burns down. Now, at this point, we presume. Right, that Lestat's dead.
Yeah,
that's the presumption. Lestat's dead. Claudia and Louis make the huge leap to go to Paris, right?
I think, but they were going everywhere. They were going all the way around world because
They ended up in Paris. Pictures. That's right. They ended up in Paris because they were looking for others like them. That's what they were doing, right? They weren't just traveling. Mm-hmm. They were looking for other vampires. That's right. See? It's a good thing I got you along, kid. I'd have forgot that one. I got notes over here too, but you know, he's after traveling around Europe and the Mediterranean, but finding no other vampires, Louis and Claudia settle in Paris in September of 1870.
Yeah.
And this is when we first see the vampire Armand, who was one of my favorites in the book. I don't remember too much about him in the book, but I remember that. From the books, he was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Because isn't he the one that made he's the one that made now I forgot his name.
Marius.
Oh, okay. So hold on. Because there is a whole hierarchy family tree thing going on here. Who I don't remember who was the one that ended up making Lestat.
His name was Magnus in the books.
Okay.
But in the movie, I don't think they mentioned his name.
Yeah, they didn't mention him in the movie. Just in the books. But he was old. He was like farting dust old.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was a whole... I remember there's... In the books, there's a whole bunch of lineage that they laid out about...
Yeah.
You know, who sired who and who was the oldest. And I remember... Because after this interview with a vampire, wasn't the next book called The Vampire Lestat?
Yes.
And then the next one after that was The Queen of the Damned. Right?
Yes.
And then in the movies, they went straight from this one to The Queen of the Damned. They left out the whole Vampire Lestat one. And that's right, because The Queen of the Damned was the king and queen, Akasha and Enkel, right?
Yeah.
See, I remember it a little bit. I'm old, but I remember a little bit. Boy, bringing out, dusting out some stuff there. Jeepers, creepers. All right, but back to the movie anyway. The vampire Armand, and this is one of the things that really pissed me off about, amongst a multitude of other things in the TV show, they completely ruined the vampire Armand in that movie, in the TV show.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a multitude of other things that they screwed up as well, but that is one thing that is just... I don't... we could talk about that after we go through this movie here, but... on to this one here, because there's not that much more of the movie left, honestly. We're more than halfway through here of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, because they meet Santiago and Armand... They find out that they have a theater. And this theater, they're...
Theater does...
The vampire. So they're pretending to be humans that are playing vampires on stage.
Vampires.
So that way they can feed on humans. Yep. It's just awesome.
During the show.
During the show,
actually,
yeah.
Actually, like during the... Yeah, I remember that. That was crazy.
It was just weird. I was like, that was one of the things that Louis says is like, so they're vampires pretending to be vampires.
And then
Claudia says, oh, how avant-garde. I was like, wow, this little girl needs to be slapped or something. Use language like that. but then they, you know, they meet up with the coven. I guess they call him a coven.
Yeah.
Of vampires. And this is where they find out, really, that, that first of all, they find out that, well, you killed your maker. That's a big no-no.
Yeah.
And you have a child that was turned into a vampire. That's another big no-no.
No, exactly.
Now, Louis had, right, they had changed another woman to take care of Claudia.
Yeah, he changed another woman that actually looked like her mother, and she looked like the daughter in the little cameo necklace that she had.
And because Claudia was convinced that Louis was going to leave her for Armand, right? So they changes this girl, this woman, to a vampire, so that way Claudia has her mother, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this coven is like, you know, y'all are kind of fucked. They take Louis, they kind of throw him in this hole in the wall, seal it up, and he's basically going to have to live out his life there for eternity because, you know, vampires don't really die. He can't feed, he can't do nothing, he just has to live in there. And then
they put Claudia...
And that woman. Ooh.
In this, like... I guess it was like a well, maybe, with like where the sun could shine in on them and turn them to dust.
Yeah. And that's what happens. As soon as the sun comes up, you know, the sun comes up and little by little, you see the sunlight creeping in through the, and it hits them and it's just, you see Claudia screaming and that lady's holding her.
And it's a sad.
You're kind of like, damn, that kind of sucks. I mean, Claudia was an asshole. She was an asshole. You know, but she was raised. Yeah. She was raised by Lestat. So I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, but you're like, damn, that kind of sucks. But Armand does have a soft spot for Louis. Yanks him out of the crypt. I guess for a better word,
Yeah.
And Louis just goes ape shit, grabs one of these scythe things and just, dude.
Yep.
Myrtleates them all. All.
Yep. I remember.
You know, and they don't really say too much what happened to Louis and Armand after that, do they? Because they just kind of go.
Yeah, they just, he just leaves Armand.
Oh, he doesn't stay with Armand?
No, he leaves because he said all of his, what, something went to the golden hair, meaning Claudia.
Oh, shiza. Okay. Yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah.
And because then he goes back to New Orleans and it's, right?
Yeah.
And he, because he can, is he being pulled there? Is it like he feels a pull? I can't remember.
No.
I can't remember. This is, and now I'm blanking for this next part, because this next part that I remember is we see Lestat.
Yeah.
You know, telling his part that he came, that he's in this house. It's the modern times. And he's in this old mansion, all decrepit and stuff.
Yeah, and Louis sitting there with him, and yeah. He said, what if I could come back? You know, like basically asking him to take him back.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I must leave now. And he like kind of just left him there.
Yeah.
It's kind of a messed up thing to do, too.
Yeah, well... That's not, and that's not the end of Lestat, because then we go back to Louis talking to the interviewer, who was just Christian Slater, and, you know, the interviewer's kind of like, well, am I supposed to believe that blah, 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 blah? And Louis kind of convinces him that, hey, motherfucker, I'm a vampire.
Yeah.
Kind of scares him a little bit.
Do you like being for the immortals?
Yeah.
Do you like dying?
Yeah. And... So Christian Slater's like, oh, shit, let me grab my tapes and I'm out. You know, he grabs all of his recordings. And he's going. He's in a nice car and driving away.
Yeah.
And we see the stop.
Yeah.
I mean, how does it end? You tell me how it ends.
How to end? He bit the interviewer and said, "I'm gonna give you the choice I never had." And then "Sympathy for the Devil" from Guns N' Roses comes on.
Yeah, and ironically enough, that's exactly what he told Louis. "I'm gonna give you the choice that I never had."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. He tells that to Malloy, and that's the interviewer, Malloy. I'm going to give you the choice I never had. And now, it was daytime, though, wasn't it?
No, it was still night.
It was night.
That
was daytime.
Yeah.
So I thought this led, maybe I was wrong. I don't remember. So I know, I think that, we could talk about the books a whole nother friggin' hour, because that was a whole nother, I mean, because... The Vampire Lestat, the next book that came after this, it led on to a whole war with the vampires, right? Lestat was out there being a rock star at the beginning of the book because he was a rock star vampire.
Yeah, don't get me started on the the Queen of the Damned. That movie pisses me off in so many ways.
But I mean,
they should have done like at least the Vampire Lestat to like explain.
Yeah, where she came from, because that's when she woke up. That's when her and Ankel woke up. Right, was in the Vampire Lestat. That was the reason. Because the whole vampire nation rose up against Lestat. Lestat was like, "Hey, fuck y'all! I'm gonna do what I want to do, bitches." Kind of deal, and that's why they were like, "Well, there's gonna be some issues," and that's why they woke up, right? Isn't that right? They should have done that. But, who knows? And I don't even think in Queen of the Damned, they didn't even make reference to Lestat. I don't remember. I'm gonna have to go back and watch that. Even though Aaliyah,
I don't know, they like left out his mother and everything. How he ended up turning her, and her name is Gabriel.
Yeah,
as in the book.
Even though Aaliyah was pretty fucking hot. I'm telling you, that's who played the queen, right? Aaliyah.
Yeah,
I'm gonna watch that. I might watch that tonight. To tell you the truth. Yeah, I'm gonna do that.
Yeah.
She's hot, even though she's dead. She's still hot.
Yeah.
So I mean, all in all, you know, this is in my opinion, this movie is spectacular. I'm the type of person that I like period pieces. So if I'm watching a movie that takes place in like, you know, the 1500s or 1600s, I like that setting. I like the movie that takes place in certain periods of time. And if you add in a horror movie on top of that, baby, it's friggin' awesome. I love it. And I think that Tom Cruise did a spectacular job portraying the Vampire Lestat. I think that Brad Pitt as Louis was good. I think Kirsten Dunst as Claudia, creepy, spooky,
scary. It was creepy.
You would fear her if you saw a girl like Claudia. Yeah, I'd be like, damn, I'm out. Kind of deal, you know. It was good. I like this movie. There's no reason to not like it, in my opinion. Right? What do you think?
No reason not to like it. Everything in it's awesome.
Yeah. This movie, I mean, I know that with you, I know it holds a special spot, too, with Kat and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I miss her as well. She was your best friend. Love you, Kat.
Yeah.
Miss
her so much.
She loved this movie as well. And this movie was, I mean, these books, this movie was huge. This was all kind of stuff. Now, let's talk real quick about, we're going to give a couple minutes on the TV show. All right. We're not going to die. We're not going to do a whole bunch of time on it because I don't think it deserves that. But we'll go real quick. I watched the first season of the TV show. I didn't watch the second season at all.
Yeah.
Now, one aspect of a lot of vampire mythology and a lot of vampire lore out there, and it's really heavy in Anne Rice's books. Is that overt homosexuality, the theme. But it's always hidden, right? It's always like
It's not like out there in your face. It's like it's kind of just like a.
Well, the way they say it, and I think they explain, even Lestat explains it at the time, that they like to feed on the men because they put up more of a fight and it's more of a game and it's more fulfilling. That's not so much of a sexual thing.
I'm here.
You know.
Can you hear me?
Oh, did I lose you again? Did I lose you again?
Shit.
She might be blacking out again. She's been drinking too much. This happens a lot in this show, to tell you the truth.
Ending didn't come out too good, so I had to come back in here and re-record an ending for this episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Now, we were having some technical difficulties there with Christine. We were supposed to discuss the TV show Interview with a Vampire and briefly touch on the Mayfair Witches as it
is rolling out now with Butternuts in it. You know, nice looking eyes and you know, but we didn't get to touch on that at all. I did have my own opinion on that TV show. I think it sucks. I think it's trash. And I don't know how it's doing in the ratings or not. I don't even care. But there's plenty of reasons I think that it's, in my opinion, it's not very good. It's because it's not sticking to the storyline that was portrayed in the books. I did go back and rewatch Queen of the Damned. And again, I haven't read the books in quite some time. So, but to me, Queen of the Damned, after this rewatch, it is a loose sequel. So it's not a direct sequel. It's a loose sequel. But it does play as almost the next book in the series, The Vampire Lestat. It does almost play as that book. Again, I haven't read the books in many, many years. So I don't know. I don't remember exactly what's going on here, but the TV show I know is fucking atrocious. It's terrible. I did watch the first season. At first, I had high hopes for it because the cast was a good-looking cast, and I thought that they could do some good stuff with it. But the way that they, in the end, basically all it was is that. All vampires are homosexuals, and that's all it is. It's basically what it boiled down to. So it was, it didn't have any of that come and get you grip that the books or the movie Interview with the Vampire had. So I don't like it. I think it's trash. I have no desire to watch season two. I think it's on season two now. And I wanted to see the Mayfair Witches. Because I like that, I can't remember what the hell's her name. Alexandra Daddario, whatever hell her name is. That's the one I'm talking about. I do like her. She's easy in the eyes. I did want to check that movie out, that TV, that show out, but I was very hesitant, because of what they did with Interview with a Vampire. And I just read not too long ago that they are actually doing crossovers. So, my guess is that they're doing the same thing with that TV show as well. So it is what it is. That's my opinion on the TV show. Unfortunately, we didn't get to get Christine's opinion on that. Maybe if we can get her some better internet next time. I don't know what the hell what's going on with her. Maybe we'll get her to give her opinion. But I do plan on having her back because we want to cover Creepshow 1 and 2 finally. We'll see if that ever happens, but that's it. Finally, bringing this episode to a close. The episode was supposed to happen in October, but that's it. Everybody out there, sweet dreams, love, peace, and chicken grease, baby.
Watches the monsters, the ghouls, the dead. His heart beats faster, his mind is fed. And gore and screams of fear, a world of darkness he holds so dear.
And that's gonna do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bad shine. And until next time, don't forget. You're wrong.
Later, Tater.
Echoes a sinister sound as he dances with shadows on haunted ground. Horror shine, a chilling name, lost in shedding sight. Lost in the movies, from dust to light. Simply shine, it's an actor of life, a twisted soul where horror doesn't end.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night, and God bless America.